Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote that song. If the girls sang one, that sure would be good to have him sing then. I'm sure he would enjoy listening to them sing his song. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. Then we'll be turning to the book of Acts for a while. We'll speak to us tonight concerning lordship. We're going to see what the Bible says about lordship, because truly we're going to read in that he is Lord. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we that have received him, that was the beginning of lordship, and because he is now the director, the captain of our salvation, the one that owns us, the one that bought us, we ought to walk therein. He's Lord, he told us we should, and therefore he is the master. Then in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Acts 10, 34. I love the writings of Peter. Love the writings. He had made such a mess of things before he got straightened out, and after he denied the Lord, and before that even. But boy, once the Lord forgave him for that, he was straight on the path of righteousness ever since. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And if he is your Lord and my Lord, then we have to acknowledge him in every area of our life. The word lordship in the Greek that he uses, it's to whom a person belongs. Now, if you belong to him, then he is a master. He has a right to direct us, to tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And he rules everything in their life. And if he doesn't, we have no right to call him Lord. He asked them one time, why call you me Lord, Lord? They were saying, Lord this, and they were addressing him as Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord for? The only reason you have a right to do that is you keep my sayings. So we're going to look tonight in the book of Acts chapter 16 while you're turning there. This Lord also means the one that possesses a person or a thing, and we belong to him. He possesses us. So I don't like that idea. Oh, I want him to be Lord. He does possess me. He controls me. And then it's a title of honor and respect that God wants us to give him. It's the way the servants treat a master, Lord. Well, we are his servants, and he is our master. He is Lord of all. In Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at the life of Paul for a little bit. And we'll learn some things. This is in the second year of Paul's missionary travels. Remember, after he got saved and secured, and he went and studied. Then God put him on the team of traveling. And this is his first or his second missionary journey. And as he's going, now he's already learned so much from following the Lord. And there's sometimes a problem with that in our own lives. We follow the Lord. We've got direction from him. And pretty soon you think you know what to do. And pretty soon you start doing what you think you know to do. But maybe that's not what he wants at the time. I remember David one time was fighting the enemy, and the Lord told him how to do it. And then a few years later, the enemy came back again, and David says, Lord, do we want to do it like we did it last time? And the Lord said, no, got a new plan, new strategy. So he looks at all the situation. He knows everything that's happened, where the enemy's at. He knows where you are. He knows everything, and he knows the future. So I'm really proud that he is Lord, and I can call him Lord. So now Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he's learned. And as we're going to see, he's got some ideas of his own, what he wants to do. It's a good thing. You want to go preach the gospel. He wants to go preach the gospel in Asia. Sounds like a good idea. Those people really need it up there. But let's read the text together. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them to the priests for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Things are going good. Paul has learned up to this state that I preach the gospel, and God sends me, and I preach, and he saves souls. We're doing it by the book. We're doing it the way he wants it to do. But now look what happens in the next verse. Now, when they had gone throughout Lystra and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. He wanted to go to Asia, but notice they were forbidden to do that. Why would God not want him to go to Asia to preach? After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Another idea that we got to kind of sidestep, and we're going to go in that direction. They need the gospel up there, those heathens do. Sure do. But there again, the Lord's the one that's supposed to be doing the directing. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas. And the vision appeared to Paul in that there stood the man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosened from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. We see that God's doing directing. Five things we want to mention briefly that what we've already learned about lordship. First of all, about lordship, Paul is teaching us now, and God's teaching him so he can teach us, that lordship means he is the director, period. Paul don't get to go where he wants to go. See, God knew at that particular time, and we don't even know today, and Paul didn't know all the reason, but see, the people in Europe, the people in Macedonia was going to need him. And thank God he sent him that way, because the reason you and I are probably saved, one of them, is because our forefathers came from parts of that world in Europe and they'd heard the gospel, and now we have got to hear the gospel, and God looks ahead of time. 2,000 years, all through eternity, and he knows exactly what needs to be done. And Paul, yes, you're a preacher. You've been doing good. The churches are growing. Many are getting saved. But remember, I am the director. And you don't go anywhere without my permission, and I will do the directing. So many times in my life, and I'm sure the same is holds true with you, I have studied things out, talking about the things of God, the church, or a message I'm going to preach, or where I'm going to go on a trip to pray or whatever, and I'm just thinking. And after I have pretty much concluded in my mind where I think the Lord wants me to go, he speaks so clearly to me and says, no. He doesn't suggest where I go. He tells me where to go. He doesn't say, I wish you wouldn't do that. He says, no, that's not the way you're going to do it. Is that the way he did, Paul? I forbid you to go to Asia right now to preach. And the Holy Spirit would not let him go to where he thought he needed to go. Why? Because God knew he was needed somewhere else worse. And aren't you proud we're serving the God that's big enough to direct you to see where you are, every need you have, and all the people you may or may not influence. He knows all that. And I just say, thank God I have a director that knows it all. Now, there's another problem, potentially. If he is a director, and I'm down here, and he's up there, I need to learn discernment. It's mighty important. He's teaching Paul discernment. He does it in a dream, perhaps, or in a vision. Sometimes the Lord will speak to you audibly. He could, but he never has spoken to me audibly. It's so clear. I never have one time had to say, is that what you meant? Would you repeat? My wife will tell you all the time I have hearing aids, and I probably go, even with hearing aids now, it's a habit, and say, huh, would you repeat that, please? And I'm sure she just like to smack me, you know, and truth is, sometimes I hear, but I'm just in the habit of saying, what? If I say that to you, I probably already heard you. I've just been saying it so long, but I never have one time had to say, Lord, would you repeat that to me? I didn't get it. See, there is this thing of discernment, and it's not within me. He gave me discernment, the ability to hear his voice and to know what he wants me to do. And now Paul's still learning that too. This is the second year of Paul's missionary journeying, and I didn't have the discernment. You know how I got discernment? Sometimes it comes through suffering. I've told you a story before many times about, you know, 23, 24 years ago, me being in the hospital, I almost died of peritonitis, 35 days. And during that time, God taught me how to listen to his voice. I thought I knew, been preaching a long time, been serving him. But sometimes he has to bring you to place. He taught Paul because he was wanting to go there, and no doubt within his spirit, you know, he didn't argue with God, but within his self, he really wanted to go there. And twice the Lord had to say, no, a sway to go there, but I forbid you to go. You're not going there. It wasn't like, I wish you wouldn't. It was, no, you're not going there. And during those 35 days in the hospital when I couldn't eat and I didn't want to talk to nobody and I couldn't read, too sick to read, I was really too sick to pray. But God visited me over and over sometimes all night long and just talked to me and taught me discernment. Greatest thing he's ever done to me and for me. Bring me down low and teach me how to listen to him. And I rejoice then, and I rejoice now. Now, after this, we see Paul is going to have to do some suffering. He's going to go where God says go, to Macedonia, all right? But you know the next thing happens over there? Yeah, he and Silas get thrown in prison, beaten, stripes. Oh, but thank God we see another thing about lordship. Not only do we learn discernment, and we learn he's director, but we also see he is the deliverer. Wherever you go, and you may suffer, you may end up like I did in the hospital to learn it. Paul was going to jail, he and Silas. But at midnight, earthquake came. You know why it came? Because they were praising God. They were not, we wish if you let us go over there where we wanted to go, this wouldn't happen. They were so happy that he was the director and they had the discernment to know what he wanted. They started singing praises to God. God got excited about it and shut the whole place. Shell doors came open. And all the stocks they were in came loose. And they ended up winning the whole family to the Lord. Why? Because he learned that the director was the Lord and it wasn't him. He learned discernment that follow him and not myself. He learned that though I may be in the middle of a bad fix, the Lord is my deliverer. He gets me out of anything. will not only deliver, but we see a couple more things about the Lord. We've seen what we have to do. We have to say, yes, Lord. No questions asked. Go ahead and ask questions. You want to. You won't change his mind. Lord asked the question. Jesus did to his father, my God, why hath thou forsaken me? And it wasn't that he didn't know. It was just he was going to have to take your sin and my sin and all the sins of the whole world, millions and millions of sins, millions of people and billions of sin, and become sin for that and overcome sin. And so God had to forsake him because God can't stand sin, and Jesus for a period of time had to become sin. But thank God he was delivered. And when you and I go through hardships and disturbing times, our deliverer is right there. He's always there. He gives us direction. But not only that is he our deliverer, he is the one that dispenses for us. Oh, along the journey, we need some things. You might need some more clothes, or you might need to go to the doctor. You might need more food. You sure need more friends, and you sure need a lot of God. Well, in heaven, all the things, all the riches are up there. And he, being Lord, dispenses those gifts to whom he knows will use them, and he knows will bring him honor and glory. I've seen preachers that can sing, play the piano, preach, do everything. And jokingly, I said, well, the Lord gave them everything. You know why he did? He knew they'd use them. The reason he don't give a lot of us any more talent than we have, because he knows I'm not going to let my grace be squandered. I'm not going to give gifts. People aren't going to use them. But God dispenses all those gifts at the right time, just when the midnight was hallelujah chorus was going on in the jailhouse. God, at that time, he dispenses every good and perfect gift. He knows when you get in trouble. He knows before you get in trouble. He sometimes orchestrates. Sometimes he's the author of that trouble. Would he do that? You think God couldn't have kept Paul and Silas out of jail? Of course he could. A lot of people say God didn't treat me right. God could have stopped that. He could. God could have kept Cain from killing Abel too, but he chose not to. See, God's given us a lot of ability and a lot of things that we can do. We can serve him or we can squander. We can have Lord if we want him. If we follow his direction, he's Lord. And if we learn to discern what he wants for us, and if we're so happy when he dispenses those wonderful things, aren't we? Well, and we're so happy when he delivers us out of trouble. But sometimes we don't appreciate the goodness of God, and he knows all that. And sometimes if we aren't appreciative enough, like my grandfather told me, and you say, I get tired of hearing that. Well, I don't. Let me tell you one more time. Every day, he'd say to his wife, my grandmother, let's thank God that things are as well with us as they are. Nothing to gripe about. Didn't have much money. But he had a God that he knew was the director. He knew God was in charge of everything. Oh, I didn't mean to go this way, but see, the beauty of preaching at Fletcher, people keep coming when I tell a story. Half of you haven't heard it. Another half's forgotten it. Well, I got to tell about my grandpa again on my mother's side. And he went out years and years before and went and made himself an altar. He told me all this later and said, Lord, now if you were, some of you youngins don't know what I'm going to say, cure. Anybody know what that word is? Old timey English word, cure. If you will cure my wife and get her home so she can raise her youngins, I'll come to this altar once a day and give you thanks as long as I live. Whether it's raining, whether it's sleeting or snowing, I'll come once a day. And he did. And then many years later, right before he died, Grandma had heart trouble. She went to the mission hospital, and the doctor said, you're not capable of having surgery and your heart's really bad and we just don't know what to do with you. Well, Grandpa didn't know about all that. He just knew God. So he told me, he went back to the altar and he said, "Now, God, I remember, and I know you do, that covenant I made with you all those years ago. And I told you I'd come once a day. I haven't come once, I've come twice. Every day, twice. And I want you to cure her again and send her home by, I believe it's 5 o'clock tomorrow, so I'll know if you've done it." And he said, when I said that, something shook me like 3 men couldn't have shook me. Kind of like the Paul and Silas thing. God got excited about the fact that Grandpa had been keeping his part of the bargain. Well, next morning, Grandma goes on a treadmill. She's fine. The cardiologist calls in all the people that's up there. And look here, this is yesterday and today. Miss Gillespie, you can go on home. So she goes home and gets her milk pail. And my mother, godly woman that she was, the daughter, says, "Mama, you got heart trouble. You're not able to go milk." And Grandpa said, "What are you talking about, daughter? God cured her." And she outlived Grandpa. I'm just telling you, God, the director, the one that teaches how to discern what he wants, dispenses and delivers and supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing all these things. Now, he does it at his discretion, not when we want it, as we want it. He did for Grandpa. That was a special case. He might do it for you if you've been honoring him and serving him and done twice what you told him you'd do. He'd probably do it for us too. But God uses his discretion of when to do something for us. Aren't you proud the director knows all that? Sometimes if he did certain things for us, it would ruin us. Absolutely ruin us. We get the big head or get glory or something for it. And no flesh going to glory in his sight. He's already made that real clear. So he is Lord of all. Reading that verse again. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." He is Lord of all. Everyone's standing that. But the question to you, is he your Lord? Say, "Oh yeah, I got saved 20, 30, 5, 10 years ago." Good. I didn't say that. I said, Lord. He's your Savior. If you're saved, that's good. He wants to be the director of your life, the dispenser, so you can have discernment and know what he wants rather than what you want. Because he knows far better than you'll ever know. Your head's bound. Girls, could you come back and sing that song again, please? Are they still back there? I love that song. Thank you so much. I'm not ashamed of the salvation. I'm not ashamed that he's my director. Altar's open as they sing.
What a great God we serve.
Lord, we thank you so much for every good and perfect gift. Thank you we can look to you, not just when we get in trouble, but for direction, every area of our life. I don't know tomorrow what holds tomorrow. But I know you and I know your word. And I thank you that you have given me the spirit of discernment, nothing for me to crow about or exalt myself about. It's not me, it's you and me. And it's your voice, not mine. You just taught me to hear your voice. I didn't know how to do that when I first got saved, perhaps even as well as I should when I got called to preach. You had to bring me down low. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for every good and perfect gift you've given me. Every time you've delivered me, Brother Jason was saying, delivered us hundreds of times we didn't even know what was going on. You're Lord, and that's your responsibility. You said it was, and you do it well, and we thank you for it. We're down here, and we need help doing our little job. Sometimes we want to get the cart before the horse, so to speak, and do what we want. Oh, it sounds good, serving you. Maybe it's in the wrong direction. But we appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to know what you want. And tell us emphatically. Not, I wish you wouldn't do this. Just tell us plain out. That's not the way you're going to do it. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen. Altar's open.
I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I'm trusting in His Word. I'm not ashamed to lift up high the bloodstained banner, because I'm saved. I'm not ashamed. Sometimes we as Christians, we wait upon the shelf. We're ashamed to lift our hands and praise. We wait on someone else. But Jesus died at Calvary. God's plan He did fulfill. And that is why I stand today, trying to do His will. I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I'm trusting in His Word. I'm not ashamed to lift up high the bloodstained banner, because I'm saved. I'm not ashamed. In this life we have His blessings, yet we fail to praise His name. He said if we were ashamed of Him, to us He'd be the same. When He gave His life at Calvary, He did it for all men. So that I can stand and proudly say, I've been born again. I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I'm trusting in His Word. I'm not ashamed to lift up high the bloodstained banner, because I'm saved. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I'm trusting in His Word. I'm not ashamed to lift up high the bloodstained banner, because I'm saved. I'm not ashamed, because I'm saved. I'm not ashamed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Annalee and Victory. Appreciate that so much. Keep the cameras rolling and stay on the internet. You can be seated for a minute. We'll call the church in session. We've got a couple of people wanting to unite with the church, so people that's not able to be here tonight can watch this part. Come.